The great Digambar monk Swami Samantbhadra Acharya glorified this earth by his divine presence during 3rd century. An incomparable master of logic, grammar, astrology, prosody and poetry, his incredible works of philosophy and spiritual writings have given Jainism literature newer heights. While he is considered the first ever writer of the verses of adoration, his devotional works exhibit his unworldly power of exposing religious truths in succinctly logical and deeply simple manner. He is remembered as one of the greatest debaters of all times. Inspired by his life, today we, the Chhadala class and Manish Bhai's group 1 of Mona, present to you Apta Mimansa, a deity's assessment. Based on real incidences of Acharya Samantbhadra's life, this play uses his timeless creation, the Apta Mimansa, which critically evaluates a deity as its basis. Come, let us all get amazed by his thought-provoking inner and outer life. Character. Commentary will be given by Tejalji. Swami Samantbhadra Acharya role is performed by Sachinji. Swami Samantbhadra Acharya is being performed by Rijul. The King of Kanchi is being performed by Manas. Minister 1 is Samir. Minister 2, Diya. Spy is Vandit and citizen is Sachinji.
Once upon a time, in the city of Urakpur, in the ranks of Kadam dynasty, there took birth a prince named Shanti Verma. The prince, right from his childhood, was strongly averse to worldly possessions. His mindful of wisdom used to be agitated for psychic happiness and search for true happiness. As a result, the prince, at his very princely age, initiated into the order of Digambar Jain sainthood. Soon, through rigorous penances and great abstinence, he excelled inner self. Unfortunately, in his early days of monkhood, his body infected itself with a disease of Bhasmak. In this disease, the patient suffers from indefinite hunger and needs to eat a lot of food to survive. Since the Jain monks do not eat much, it was impossible for him to survive Jain Diksha with this disease. After giving lot of his thoughts, one day he approaches his Acharya.
Scene 1. Jungle. Acharya is sitting on a rock. Samantbhadra enters and bows down to Acharya and takes place near him.
Namaste Gurudev.
Radharma Vriddhi Rastu Putra. How is it behaving, the disease your neighbor has infected itself with?
O Lord, please gratify me by giving me Salekna. I have tried so hard. I can stand against all of the adversities, Parisha, Upsarg, but this disease, my Lord, it just snatches away all the power from this body if remained unfed. Dev, I would not be able to continue practicing Muni Dharma because of this Bhasmak disease this body has infected itself with. Guide me. Please give me Salekna and let me celebrate this occasion by taking Samadhi Maran.
Dear Samantbhadra, I know your capabilities and I understand the severity of this disease. From the indications and signs, it appears that you are destined to do a great service to Jainism. You have a longer life to live ahead. It would not be an appropriate decision to give you Salekna at present. Go, Samantbhadra, quit the monkhood and get cured of your disease. When it's gone, come back and reinitiate into Muni Diksha. Then you can continue your spiritual journey towards greater inner peace again. I have full faith that you will not deviate from the great Jainism.
Okay, Acharya Dev, as you envision and guide, it is a pity that I have to quit this pristine monkhood which transforms a mundane soul into godhood. I may be quitting the monkhood, but will never quit this great Jinnah way of discovering and enjoying my own self. Take my word, O Dev, that there is only one, that there is only the Jinnendra Dev and his great religion before which my head would ever bow down to. I will always be the upright follower of this great religion. Now, give me leave, Gurudev.
Dharma Vriddhi Bhav Samant Bhadra.
Samant Bhadra quitted the Digambar Jain Muni Diksha and left to cure the Bhasmak disease. He roamed to different countries, one kingdom to another, in search of food to satisfy his hunger. To get enough food, he started disguising himself in the famous forms which world respected. Once he put ashes of fire all over his body and camouflaged himself to be a Hindu saint. It worked. He got food, yet the food wasn't enough. Then he pretended to be a Buddhist monk, which were very famous in those days. Yet this again did not help him gather enough food to serve his hunger. He kept changing his outfits to get food until one day when he reached the city of Kanchi. In this city, there was a huge Shiva temple to which daily large number of food offerings were made by the followers to idol of their deity Shiva. Needless to say, all that offered food was then thrown away. We all know stones don't and cannot eat. Samant Bhadra observed it and had an instant idea. He quickly transformed himself into the costumes of Brahman and left to approach the king.
His Highness, the King of Kanchi, is sitting on his royal chair along with his two ministers on either side. The Brahmin enters.
Oh, King, such a lucky day it is for you. The Shiva has sent his true devotee to your city.
Oh, Brahmin, welcome. What a lucky day it is that a Brahmin's feet purify my court. Tell me, from where you come?
King, I have come to you as a true devotee of Shiva. I was shocked to see the waste citizens of your kingdom make of the food that is offered to your Lord Shiva. So I have come to show you how exactly the adoration is done which pleases the Lord.
Oh, noble Brahmin, I did not understand. What do you propose?
Simple. It is utterly important for me that my Lord is not insulted. So allow me, O King, with my heartfelt true prayers, I will invite Lord Shiva to eat his offerings.
You claim that with your prayer, the Lord himself will come to eat?
Yes, King. The Lords do not get easily pleased by offerings made to them. They do not like offerings of naive followers. I am a true follower and can do prayer well. So allow me, and I shall make your Lord accept your prayers.
Oh, okay. Wait, let me discuss it with my ministers. Ministers, what do you advise?
Lord, as the food is wasted anyways, there is no wrong in giving this Brahmin a chance.
Yes, my lord, and if he fails to do so, what harm is dear to us? We can punish him for the lies he speaks to your highness.
Well, well. Okay, dear Brahmin, go. Adore my lord Shiva and invite him to accept our offerings. Serve the great Shiva's temple and satisfy our lord Shiva.
Very well, King. Very well.
Samant Bhadra, disguising himself as Shiva, following Brahmin, started living at that temple. Every day, tons of food is offered to Shiva in that temple. Every afternoon, Samant Bhadra closes the doors from inside, saying that now it's echoing.
Someone's phone is getting echoing. Please mute your phones. We'll have to do this again. Hello? I think someone's phone is still muting. still is echoing. Sorry to say, whose phone number is 289-468-1091?
I think it's mine. I don't know.
Okay, Vandit, can you please put your phone on mute, and when your turn comes, just unmute the phone and say your dialogue and mute it again.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I should have...
Samanbhadra, disguising himself as Shiva, following Brahman, started living at that temple. Every day, tons of food is offered to Shiva in that temple. Every afternoon, Samanbhadra closes the door from inside, saying that now the Lord shall eat, and then eats all the offered food. When finished, opens the door again for everybody to see. Seeing the whole offerings gone, king and citizens used to wonder and believed that finally their Lord Shiva started accepting their offerings. Nobody could imagine a person eating all that quantity of food. Thus, nobody doubted the Brahmin. Now, the temple started receiving more and more offerings every day because of this wonder. Samanbhadra was enjoying his tenure as keeper of temple. Slowly, as he was getting enough quantity of food for his hunger, his Bhasmak disease started to cure, and gradually, his hunger started diminishing. Now, he could not eat all that was offered to Shiva, and as a result, to everybody's surprise, Shiva started eating less food. One day, observing the leftover food, King summoned his ministers to his court.
His Highness, the King of Kanchi, is sitting on his royal chair along with his two ministers on either side.
Ministers, I have been made aware of the leftovers of food at the temple of Lord Shiva. It is unusual. Lord Shiva used to eat everything, but now he is not. I do not find it a good sign. Advise.
My lord, true. I visited the temple yesterday and saw the leftovers. I am afraid perhaps the Lord Shiva is angry on us.
Minister. I also feel the same way. What is your view of this, Minister?
My Lord, upon knowing of this highly unlikely incident last evening, I sent our spies to gather some trustworthy information in this matter. I am awaiting for them only. They should be here any time now.
Very well, Minister.
A couple of spies enter the court.
Oh, spies, good to see you right at the moment. Tell us, what information you carry?
Lord, the information that we gathered would surprise you. We are afraid you would not believe us and may reward us with punishment too. We are afraid, Lord.
Oh, spies. Worry not. Tell us what you know, and you shall not be punished.
Lord, we were inside the temple, hidden, when the Brahmin closed the doors, claiming, "Now the Lord shall eat." And what we saw after, that was breathtakingly shocking, Lord. We were already too afraid that Lord Shiva might appear, but...
But what? Say quickly.
Sir, we saw no Lord Shiva coming inside the temple, but that Brahmin himself starting eating the tons of offerings lying there. He was eating it with such great pace, it looked like he never had food before in his life.
What? That noble Brahmin himself was eating?
Yes. And yet he could not eat at all, thus the leftovers. Also, for the whole day and night that we stayed, O King, you'd be surprised that he did not bow down to Lord Shiva, even for once.
What rubbish! How is it possible for a human to eat so much of food?
And he is a great devotee to Lord Shiva, you liars.
We already warned you, sir, that what we saw is not easy to believe. But trust us.
If what you spies say is true, that Brahmin lied to me. How could he? And why would he?
Maybe we shall look for the history of this Brahmin.
Dear Lord, we sent a few more spies to inquire about the Brahmin's past already, and the information we received from our friends is equally shocking.
Tell us quickly, spy, quickly say.
King, the Brahmin is the prince of Kadam dynasty, which ruled over the kingdom of Urukpur. His name used to be Shantivarma until he became Digambar Jain monk. Since then, he is called Samantabhadra.
What? A Digambar Jain monk?
That liar.
Tell us more, spy. How did he end up here?
So, while practicing monkhood, he got infected with Pashmak disease, which causes extreme hunger. He then quitted the monkhood upon the order of his acharya and was roaming in the country to cure his hunger. And then he found you, King, and this temple.
A Jain monk? That is why he does not bow down to Lord Shiva?
Yes, Lord. These Jains are too strict and do not bow down to any other lord but the Jinnah.
Oh, King, I think we must go and find out ourselves by approaching this Brahmin.
Yes, Minister. Thank you, spies. Your services have been of great use. You shall be rewarded. Collect your rewards. Come, ministers, let us go and see that liar.
Furious, the king, with both his ministers, headed towards the temple. As they reached, they found the Brahmin meditating. Samantabhadra was doing samai and was praising his true deity, Lord Arhanta, and the five Parmeshtis. His Bhasmak disease was finally cured, and he was happy that he can again initiate into the Jain monkhood. The angry king waits for him to come out of the meditation. After a while, he opens his eyes. Looking at the furious king, Samantabhadra quickly predicts what must have had happened. A few citizens also gathered inside temple, seeing the king and ministers.
Brahmin is standing in one side and king and ministers on the other. Citizens are scattered.
Oh, Brahmin, how was your meeting with Lord Shiva today?
Well, King, it appears that Lord Shiva is not well these days. Today, when he came, he did not look much hungry and left food leftovers.
You liar to the king. How could an idol eat food? You've been fooling all of us.
Yes, Brahmin, we have discovered who you are and what you have been doing all these days.
Oh, so finally, sanity and wisdom has found you people. Of course idols can't eat. I did not fool any one of you. You were fools already. I just took advantage of that fact.
What? So the Lord Shiva never ate what we offered to him so religiously?
Think for yourself, how is it possible for a matter to eat? Do your cooking utensils eat the food that you keep it in? No. And why would your Lord Shiva, if he is Lord, need you to feed him? Is he poor? Does he not have anything to eat? You thoughtless fools.
How could you call me a fool, Brahmin?
Sorry, King, but you yourself proved that you are.
So you say you don't believe Shiva to be your deity?
Yes, he's not a deity. Not for me, not for anyone. Those who are burning with rag and dvesh themselves,
how can they be happy? And if they are not happy, how could they be called Lord?
How does a true deity look like if not like Shiva, then, O Brahmin?
A true deity is someone who is completely, truly happy. The one who is truly and eternally happy is the Lord Jinnah, the only deity I bow down to.
Why do you praise Jinnah? What does he have? What does he do?
Oh, I have heard about Jinnah. They have devas from the Devgati coming to their Samosharan. They have so much of wealth, glory, and they walk on the air. So many devas always keep praising them.
Oh, nice citizen. Devagam nabhoyano chamaradi vibhutaya maya vishvapi drishyante natas tvamasi no mahan. I bow down to Jinnah, not because he is deus coming from him from the heavens to serve him, not because he walks above the earth, and nor because he has so much wealth in his Samvatsaran. It is possible for any elusive being to own all of these. These glories do not make Lord Jinnah adorable.
Oh, then must be, as he has celestial being-like body and supernatural internal and external qualities. That must be the reason that you adore him.
No, minister. These qualities, if not by an elusive being, but could easily be possessed by the celestial being. Thus, these qualities do not qualify to be a reason for me to bow down to the Jinnah.
O Brahmin, see, in our great scripture, the Shiva is deity. In your scripture, Jinnah is deity. So for us, Shiva is the true Lord, and for you, Jinnah is. May be you bow down to Jinnah because the scriptures tell you to do so.
O King, listen. Tirtha kritsam yanam cha paraspar virodata sarvesham mapta nasti kashi deva bhave guru. There are so many writers and propagators of religious scriptures, and the teachings given by them are contradictory to each other. Thus, all of them cannot be true. Only one of them would be a true deity. Therefore, logically speaking, not all scriptures and not all religions could be true because truth is always one and universal. Therefore, your argument is wrong in you. I do not adore my deity just because it's said to do so in Jain scriptures.
Then what qualities make a deity adorable? Tell us, O Brahmin.
Listen. Dosha varanyorha nir nisheshasya tishanyat kwa chityade swa hetubhyo varenta malakshaya. Just as in world, only the pure gold is admired, not the one with impurity. The greatness of the true deity lies in omniscience and complete detachment. The one who is without all impurities, delusions, attachments, and aversions, and whose all the karmic matter, like Yanavaran, etc., have been destroyed. It is the true deity. Such is the true deity I bow down to.
Is it possible for someone to have omniscience?
Why not? Whatever is known by inference is seen by someone for sure. Just as we infer by the presence of smoke that there must be fire, somebody witnesses that fire as well. Likewise, the subtle, internal, and distant objects known by inference are seen by someone directly. This is how existence of omniscient is proved.
Okay, the omniscience is possible, but there can be no person who is completely detached and passionless.
No, it is possible to be completely detached and passionless. It is, just as in the world, impure gold stone with the help of fire becomes pure, discarding all internal and external impurities, in the same way, with the fire of meditation of pure self, a soul can be free from its blemishes and become completely detached.
Yes, what you say sounds so true and fits to logic as well.
Therefore, I bow down to only one who is omniscient and passionless.
Citizens were finding the Brahmin's word very logical and started praising him for his assessment of the qualities of true deity. They were already praising the true Lord Jinnā amongst themselves. Left unanswered and insulted, the king gets aside with his ministers for a private discussion. The ministers were feeling insulted and revengeful. They encouraged king to avenge their lost pride by making Samanbhadra bowing down to Lord Shiva. King finds it rightful to do to punish Samanbhadra. They resume.
Oh, Brahmin, you are Jain monk Samanbhadra. You cheated us all. You made a fool of us. No doubt you are great with your oratory, but here, those who insult the throne are punished. I hereby order you to bow down to Lord Shiva for deceivingly eating his share of offerings. It is your punishment.
O king, this head does not bow down in front of anyone but the Jinnā.
King did not order a death for you. You are lucky. Just bow down and leave happily.
My head is not a toy. It has its own pride, unlike yours. It does not bow down in front of the people who do not deserve to be bowed down to.
It's a king's order. You have to follow it.
I have no problem in bowing down to Lord Shiva, but I warn you all, I am doubtful that your Shiva will be able to digest my bow. Are you sure, King, that I bow down to him?
Yes, bow down. I take all the responsibility of what follows. You bow down to him.
Okay, good luck to your lord. Here, this Jain believer, Samanbhadra, bows down to the idol of Shiva, yet bows down to the Jinnā. Here I go.
Svatvameva si nirdosho yukti shastra virodivak avirodo vadishtam te prasidhin nabhadyate.
The Shiva idol tears apart and a Jinnā idol resurrects from it. Look, the Shiva's idol is tearing apart. My goodness, is it an earthquake approaching?
Oh, what is that thing resurrecting out of the torn Shiva idol?
It is the idol of Jinnā Tirthankara Chandraprabh Bhagwan.
Oh, Lord Samanbhadra, we mistook you. Pardon us. Jinnā is the true Lord.
Yes, Jinnā is the truest of all. May long live the Jinnā.
Oh, king and citizen, I bow down to the Jinnā, because I have examined him myself. If you want to follow a deity, assess him for yourself. You cannot believe you unless you assess yourself. May long live the Jinnā.
Yes, may long live the Jainism.
And from that day on, the Kartik Chakravarti Swami Samanbhadra reinitiated his spiritual journey of Jain sainthood, which, in its own pious tenure, shattered the pride of perverted orators of different religious thoughts. I roam about and roar like a lion for the exposition of religious truth. Come and debate with me, if you dare, was the precise introduction he devoted to himself. Long live Swami Samanbhadra Acharya. Long live Jain Deva. Long live Jainism.